right from here. Why don't you stand, maybe join in the fun? Now the show has begun. This week we are on location at a Royal Naval Station.
Yes, Joy Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Professor Jimmy Edwards are together at the Royal Naval Barracks, Portsmouth, before an audience of sailors. Moreover, we've found Wallace Eaton, Alan Dean, and the keynotes among those present, and Charles Shadwell has brought his orchestra along, so if you've got half an hour that's more or less clear...
Jimmy, I can't find her. I've looked everywhere.
Well, for heaven's sake, keep on looking, Bentley. I'll ask this sailor. Excuse me, have you seen Miss Joy Nichols?
Now I flip him with light.
Oh, well, thanks all the same, Commander. Oh, Bentley, fancy Joy being lost in a naval barracks. Where can she be? Put yourself in a similar position, Bentley. Supposing you were lost among thousands of wrens, what would you do?
Well, now, I'd start
Black
by...
Black Mark Bentley! Who can we ask about her?
Well, I know the mayor pretty well.
What, the mayor of Portsmouth? Do you really?
Oh, yes, he's very friendly, the mayor. He calls me Dickie and I call him Mary.
Oh, Bentley, you're just pootle-tootling. I'm worried about Joy. Before we left London, Joy's mother said to me, look after her, old man.
I didn't know Joy knew an old man.
You're just being modest, Bentley.
Yeah. Oh. Well, she's your responsibility, Jimmy. I don't know why you keep making these rash promises.
Well, I've been at a by-election all the week. Oh, look, here comes Joy now.
Oh, yes, tell you what, Jimmy, let's give her a big build-up, you know, like they do in that show, How Are You, Gang?
Right. Well, well, and who's this lovely bunch of couple that's standing at my side right now?
It's Dick Bentley. Hiya, fellas. Oh, Jimmy, I've had a sensational afternoon. A most wonderful flag lieutenant has been showing me around his ship. He showed me the engine room, the forecastle, the galley.
What about the hold?
Oh, just one arm lightly around my waist. And this evening he's promised to show me the Golden Rivers.
Has he really? I say, Joy, are you sure? Are you sure he was the flag lieutenant?
Oh, yes, he was the flag lieutenant. He showed me the things on his arms, a propeller and three stripes.
Joy, you're being silly. You're just falling for the glamour of a uniform. I know. When I was in uniform, I had women absolutely waiting for me on the doorstep.
Yes, but Bentley, you were a milkman.
Leading milkman. 25 bob a week and provide your own horse. Joy, name one thing that sailor had that Jimmy and I haven't.
A beard. I think a beard is so fascinating.
Oh, there's nothing to it, Joy. I could grow one myself. I'd only have to stop shaving for 6 months and it would spring up overnight.
Now, well, this sailor's different. When you go out with him, you get the smack of the ocean and the wild sea breezes.
How about when I take you out?
You just get the smack.
Anyway, now Joy's back with us, we can press on with the show. I'll just get Wallace Eaton to reassure her mother. Oh, Wall, I have a small chore.
Oh, well, never mind, Jim, your mouth's big enough. You talked your way onto the BBC and all. Oh, we're very proud of Jim back in the building.
I'll bet you are, Wallace.
Yes, it shows what a fella can do if he's got the go in him. He talks so cut glass now, Mr. Bentley, you'd never guess that when he started he was as common as you or me.
You knew him well in those days, Wallace.
Oh, yes. His granny and my granny used to go ice skating together. Here, Jim, I saw your mum this morning. She was in the ice street getting cigarettes.
I'm certain the dear old mater looked away.
Oh, no, she straightened up and waved. Here, guess who she met the other day? Here, this'll give you a surprise. Agatha Dewdrop.
What a ghastly name. I cannot camouflage my repugnance.
No, I should try dieting. Here. Little Agatha Dewdrop, well, she married a sailor and she went off to foreign parts, Chatham. Then she moved to Portsmouth to better herself.
Well, I hope I don't run into the woman.
Well, that's my surprise, Jim. She's in the audience.
Well, of all things.
Yes, that's life, Jim. After all these years, you've refound your little dewdrop. Right under your nose.
Thank you, Keynote. Oh, Dick, that destroyer you wanted to look over, it's left the key.
Oh, never mind. I suppose these things go quite a long way without winding.
Oh, Bentley. My goodness, you are a twitterpate. You obviously know nothing about naval affairs.
Well, that's not so. Back home, they used to call me Bellbottom Bentley.
In your sailor suit?
No, in my bathing costume.
Oh, I'm in good shape tonight.
Not from where I'm standing. Well, I tell you what, for Dick's benefit, let's make this week's Facts of Type throw a little light on service affairs.
Wacko joy. Ladies and gentlemen, stand by for Focus on Recruiting.
The drive for recruiting is on. In the Royal Air Force, it's a grand life, as the airmen themselves will confirm.
What's the matter with you, Alf?
Proper brainstorm. On janker since 6 o'clock this morning. When I got to breakfast, all the bangers are gone. Comes dinner time and I'm duty spud basher. Time I'd bash me bar full, dinner's off, and all I get is 2 prunes and a dollop of cornflour mug.
You should have had a big tea.
Huh, some oats. I was queuing outside a cookhouse where I get slung on the hooks for dirty cap badge. Had to wait outside the guard room for 2 hours while that orderly sergeant finished his caviar. Now look at me. Late teas are finished and early suppers ain't started. My stomach's rumbling like a lorry.
You're always binding. What did you join the Air Force for?
Well, you do know where your next meal's coming from.
And then there's the Army. Many young people have joined the Territorial's mixed batteries, which offer the chance of doing a good job, and afterwards, when the day's work is through...
Oh, Mavis. How tranquil it is here in the Nathy. Just you, me, and B Company singing Roll Me Over. I really must say that route march must have been tiring for such fragile beauty as yours. Come, slip your boots off and I'll fan your feet with my cap. See, I have ordered for you a repast fit for a fairy princess, cod and double peas. Now, no more peas for me, Tar. I like them, but they don't like me. Oh, Mavis, I cannot wait till next Saturday afternoon when we can slip away to the valley. There you will lay your head on my shoulder and murmur in my ear, play up, Charlton!
We couldn't conclude this survey of recruiting without mention of the recruiting sessions which feature a brains trust. The BBC recorded one recently where the question master had 2 naval commanders and a Wren first officer.
Well, what does the Naval Brains Trust think of recruiting?
Well, I think recruiting is going very well. You should see some of the people who joined the Navy recently.
Ah. Well, that's good news, and I understand that for welfare purposes, many theatrical personalities now entertain aboard ship.
We've had Dame Sybil Thorndyke, who charged Wood and the entire Monte Carlo ballet. As a matter of fact, our last ship's concert was attended by the Lords of the Admiralty.
Oh, grand. And did the men themselves do any entertaining?
3 of them dressed up as the Andrews sisters and sang Buttons and Bows. But the sailors can keep themselves amused anyhow.
That is... That is certainly true. I've always been intrigued by the way they make those little ships in bottles.
I had one on my dressing table for months. And as for my wrens, I think we know how to keep them happy.
Fine. Well... Enough of personnel. Are our ships in good order?
Every single one is scraped down and repainted twice a year.
Yes, that was what the BBC recorded. But when they came to play it, they found it was too long. And so to cut it down, they eliminated the question master completely. And this is how the recording sounded then.
I think recruiting is going very well. You should see some of the people who joined the Navy recently.
We've had Dame Sybil Thorndyke. We, Georgie Wood, and the entire Monte Carlo Valley. As a matter of fact, our last ship's concert was attended by the Lords of the Admiralty.
3 of them dressed up as the Andrews sisters.
But sailors can keep themselves amused anyhow.
I had one on my dressing table. And as for my wrens, I think we know how to keep them happy.
Every single one is scraped down and repainted. Thank you. That was Sunflower, sung by Miss Nichols. Well, greetings, gentlefolk. As you listeners may have gathered, this show is being performed in front of a whole lot of sailors and wrens. A wren, of course, is what may be described as an old salt in a new shaker. I just put that in for those of you who may not be familiar with naval parlance. I'm not myself, because I was in the Air Force, actually. The cream, you know. Funny, that went a lot better at Biggin Hill. But to my subject. Our film this week takes place in the South Seas, a very suitable location, as I myself am a great traveler. I have done some of the most perilous journeys known to mankind. From Gibraltar to Diope in a ropey-topey. From Liverpool Street to Ongar on the LNER. And from the Naval Arms to the main gate on pay night. You can see there's been some research here. Now, to get to the South Seas, we bought a 60-foot yacht. And did we have fun? No, not really. The trouble was that Bentley is a very bad navigator. In fact, he is the man who slowed up that boat to China. In the end, we had to book passages on a liner. It was that sort of ship where the steward comes round in the morning and says, for first-class passengers, dinner is served. For second-class passengers, food is ready. For third-class passengers, grab up! So to our overture, played by Charles Shadwell and his tally band. They're one man short today as the harp player stepped out of a fifth-floor window. He's still playing the harp, but he no longer needs a union badge. So, overture, gentlemen, please.
Today, Tyfe brings you a well-loved tale of a boy, a girl, and a desert island, freely adapted from the novel by H. de Vere Stackpoole. Listen to what the author said when he saw Tyfe's version of his story.
Oh, no! 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 No!
If you were cast away on a desert island with Gene Simmons, what 8 records would you choose? Or wouldn't you bother? In the part Gene Simmons plays today, we have our beautiful all-girl actress, Joy Nichols, who was chosen by Sidney Gilliatt to help Frank launder. The laundry is now finished. So she portrays Emmeline, the girl who grew up on an uncharted island.
Oh, it's wonderful to lie out in the sun and get sunburnt in faraway places with strange-sounding names. And what fun when Michael built our first crude hut. He put in our first crude nail and swung our first crude hammer. Then he hit his thumb and said our first crude word.
After Mr. Richard Bentley's performance in this film, the critics agreed he should climb right to the top, then jump. Today, Mr. Bentley plays Michael, the girl's only companion on the desert island.
10 years we've been here. A boy and a girl alone on a desert island for 10 years. Think of it.
That's enough.
But I'll look after you, Emmeline. I've cut a coconut in half. It'll make us a cup and a jug.
But who's going to get the cup?
Well, my money's on Portsmouth.
The villain is Professor Jimmy Edwards, who made such a success as a rear admiral in the show Bless the Brave. Today he portrays Dr. Murdoch, the scoundrelly adventurer who calls at the island.
Oh, I know all these sandy stretches. I'm a real son of the beach. A black-hearted evil scoundrel. They call me the terror of the 8 seas.
But there are only 7 seas.
Well, then I'm even worse than I thought.
so to our film. When Miss Nichols appears in her brief two-piece costume, gentlemen are requested not to bite the woodwork. Ladies and gentlemen, we present Desert Island Risks, or the Navy Blue Lagoon. The scene is a tropical island in the South Seas, noted on the Admiralty charts as somewhere in the Technicolor group. Two shipwrecked children have just reached the shores of the lagoon.
Oh, Michael, land at last. We are so fortunate to be alive. Just before the ship caught fire, the kindly captain threw us overboard.
Yes, and what a job it was getting out of that sack.
Look around, Michael. This golden beach, these blue waters, this serene stillness and peace. Where can we be?
I don't think it's Queen Street.
Oh, Michael, I'm frightened. Stranded here with just a little boy and a record of Izzy Bond singing You Don't Know How Lucky You Are. Nobody will find this desert island. Nobody knows where it is.
Don't cry, Evelyn. Lay your head on my chest.
Oh, Michael, do you know where it is?
Yes, it's just under my neck, this white... You can't miss it if you...
No, Michael, the island!
Oh, come, Emmeline. We must find food. See, there are palm trees. Let's spend our first day ashore looking for dates.
Oh, yes, just like the sailors do. Wait, Michael, look. There's our food. That coral strand is covered with banana bushes.
Then let's both go down the strand
and have a banana. 5 years sped by. We'd now played Izzy Bond's record 8,000 times. Michael grew tall and brown. He soon had muscles that rippled, but only when the wind blew. But danger still lurked in our island paradise. One day, Michael was diving in the lagoon when...
Help! Help! Emmeline, help me! Some creature has come up out of the deep and is pulling me underwater.
Oh, Michael, is it an octopus?
No, it's a herring.
10 years passed. Izzy Bond's record was now so thin he sounded like Frank Sinatra. Michael learned how to make hot milk without using matches. He rubbed two cows together.
And then one day I was in the woods catching a turtle to make a turtleneck sweater. Amy was in the clearing milking a coconut when suddenly a twig snapped.
Oh, who's there? Who's that? Who's that peeping out from behind the dense foliage?
Greetings, jungle folk. Why, this dense foliage happens to be my moustache. Is there a sailor's rest around here? I landed on the other side and left my crew weeping on a faraway shore.
Were you all washed up, too?
So my agent told me. Ah, but you're a beautiful creature, my dear. The fact that your clothes are made out of the bark of a tree appeals to me particularly.
Why, who are you?
Tell me, my dear, are you alone here?
No, you're with me. And Michael is here somewhere. He's just building a little public library among the palm trees. He's very clever. He can read palms. Michael is a sort of Robinson Crusoe.
And I suppose you're his girl Friday.
Yes, and she's booked up for the rest of the week, too. Oh, Emmeline, I heard voices, so I ran here across the burning sands. I came hot foot. Who are you, sir?
My name is Dr. Murdoch.
No relation to...
No, me. No. Oh, I've been sailing round the Horn. May I give you a South Sea Island greeting? Aloha.
Aloha.
Who's your lady friend?
Permit me to introduce myself, sir. I am Emmeline.
What a ghastly name. Sounds more like an ointment.
And this is Michael Bentley. We two have been together on this island for 10 years.
A boy and a girl alone on a desert island for 10 years? Wasn't it dreadfully dull?
It was at first, but lately we...
Black Mark Bentley! Now, you two, I've come here in search of copra.
Sam Copra?
I've told you I'm not that Murdoch. I'm just a young... Gad, look at those pearls the boy's wearing. Worth a king's ransom, plus purchase tax, of course. I must get hold of them. Oh, you'll pardon me talking to myself. Somebody has to do the plot. Tell me, young fellow, what are those two little bright beads you have there?
Those are his eyes.
No, I refer to the brooch he has in his hair. I can't help noticing how it gleams with a soft, alluring warmth.
Well, that's because I shampoo it regularly with coconut rinse and set it.
Not your hair, you fool! I'm talking about the brooch. I'll strike a bargain with you. Those beads are called pearls. You get me some more, and I'll take you both to England. You'd like that, wouldn't you?
Well...
Come, have you no ambition?
Well, I want to learn to read and write, and then one day I can join the English Navy. And if I'm... if I'm very lucky, I may become a petty officer.
Just as I thought, no ambition. Now, boy, you'll start diving tomorrow. I worked that boy hard. No more listening to Izzy Bond. I kept him diving for oysters all day. He was in and out of more dives than a stoker on shore leave. But the girl was uneasy. She stayed near the boat and drew him on one side.
Oh, Michael, look, I've drawn you on one side of the boat. Isn't it a good likeness?
Oh, Emmeline, I mustn't dive in the lagoon anymore. It's 50 fathoms deep, and all day I've been in there. Now I've just remembered something.
What?
I can't swim.
Mutiny, eh? Very well, young fellow. I have a revolver in my hip pocket.
So that's your game, is it? Well, see this fist?
What about it?
Tiny, isn't it?
Oh, please don't make Michael dive anymore. We were so happy before you arrived, and all you think about is oysters, oysters, oysters. Must you be so selfish?
Do as I say, or I'll shoot. You won't, eh? Very well, I'll shoot.
Wasn't he silly? He forgot to take the revolver out of his hip pocket.
Fate got him in the end.
Oh, Michael, this means we're saved. We can sail his boat to England.
To England? Give me that revolver. 10 years. 10 years on a desert island with just a gramophone record does things to a man. Give me that revolver.
Michael, you're not going to shoot yourself.
Shoot myself? I want to shoot Izzy Bond.
Chandler and the orchestra bring to a close this special show from the Royal Naval Barracks, Portsmouth. Those involved were Joy Nichols, Dick Benton, and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alan Dean, and the keynotes. Charles Maxwell captained the crew, while Frank Muir and Dennis Norton, as usual, pumped the bilge. Joy, Dick, and Jimmy invite you to tune in next week, and
take it from me.